Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. We're going to look at three verses. I'm going to launch into something tonight. I wished I could, and honestly, I could spend weeks on this. I'm not going to. I'm just going to hit it and run a little farther here, but I want to help you tonight. I'm going to ask you to do something while I teach tonight and while you listen. I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you willing to change for the right? Are you willing to change for the right? Look at verse number 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. We live, now, if the next 3 minutes you really need to listen, we live in a world that appearance and appearances are more important than substance. How something looks or how something appears is more important in our society today than actually what's underneath it. I call it the virtual world syndrome. Jesus called it whited sepulchers. He said, look, you're white and pretty on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones. Look how much time and money is spent on how we appear. Social media, things we buy, our cars, our houses, etc. We've got to have the newest, the latest, the gadgets, the phones, the you name it. Everything is about appearances. Most people live with what I call a facade. How many of you know what a facade is? A facade is a wall that covers up something behind it. For instance, when we were in Indiana, the three main buildings of the old church property building there was actually three buildings there, but about the late 1960s, early 1970s, I guess it was in the 1970s, Brother Hiles wanted it to look like one building. So he had a wall built all the way around that building so that it looked like one building. It was actually three buildings put together. Inside, they were all one building. Out, but the outside structures were three separate buildings. To those that walked down the sidewalk, boy, that's a huge building. Those that knew it before, man, where'd they hide the other two buildings? It was a facade. It was a wall that covered up the outside, but there was things and blemishes behind it. And the outside looked good, but that's the way most people live. That's why people's profiles on Facebook and different things. People's resumes. I've said that before. The only person that believes what's on a resume is the person that wrote it. Because it's not all what it appears to be. I want you to notice something. God tells us we humans need wisdom. Go through the book of Proverbs. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. God says in the New Testament, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We are in desperate need of wisdom. But God does not want us to have a facade. I'm going to make a statement to you. Truly wise people don't think they're truly wise. They have many people come to them. They know they have some experience, but they don't think of themselves as wise as others do. It's the people who think they're wise that get you in trouble. Say why? They have a facade of wisdom. And this facade of wisdom, by the way, God tells us about three things that wisdom is. Not one of them is a facade. And to those who have wisdom, he tells us there are three things about it. We're going to talk about that tonight. We could spend many weeks on it. I'm not going to, but I'm going to just jump right into it tonight. First of all, look at verse number 16. Wisdom is better than strength. If you mark in your Bibles, you might want to underline that statement. Wisdom is better than strength. Now, that word strength means far more than how much you can lift physically. Though it does mean that. It also means valor, strength of character. It means leadership, means mastery. It means champion. It means the strongest or most powerful positions. So it has a level of physical strength, but it also means positional strength. There are people that are, I don't mean this in a wrong way. There's too many people that are looking for positions in life, not to have the character. By the way, they'll work to do whatever they can to get a position. There's too many people that want a position. They don't want the work that goes with it. They just want the title. I remember one time I was in somebody's office and they offered me any position I wanted except one of two of the highest positions. And I slammed my hands down on a desk and I said, "Don't you try to bribe me with a position. Not a position in the world you can bribe me with." You say, "Why'd you do that, preacher?" Because I'm not a position seeker. Everybody doing okay? God says, having wisdom, now listen to this, look at it again. Wisdom is better than strength. God says having wisdom is far better than being the biggest, the strongest, and the most powerful position in the world. It's better than having Charles Atlas muscles. It's better than having won all of the awards. That's what the word champion means. There is more to life than coming into first place in everything. I know that's contrary to Western thinking. But there is far more in life than coming in first place at everything. God says having wisdom is better than strength. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Let's just back a few pages here. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse number 2. Surely I am more brutish. That word brutish means strong, rough strength like two bulls. Surely I'm more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. He said, look, I'm stronger than any person you've ever met, but I don't have any wisdom. I don't care how strong you are, whether it be by position, whether it be by physical strength, whether it be by first placeness. If you don't have wisdom, it's worthless. It really is. You take an ox or a horse or a mule that you can't train, they're worthless. I know many of farmers that they've had animals that were to be used for work, but if you can't get them to listen to you, they'll put a bullet in their head and put them down. They're not worth anything. You say, well, they could breed them. No, you don't want that bred into another animal. They'll put them down. If they won't listen, if they refuse to listen on a continual basis and are unwilling to train, you put a bullet in their head and start over. See, that's cruel, preacher. No, it was made to do a job, but it won't do its job because it's too stubborn to do what it's supposed to do. It does what it wants to do. Sounds like a bunch of people to me. I'm not suggesting to put them down. Proverbs chapter 10. Notice that we saw in Proverbs 30, God said that wisdom is more than just physical strength. It comes by understanding. It comes by other means. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Look at me. Can I tell you something? Wise people have energy that most people don't have. They have a strength that the average person does not have. Let's take our soon-to-be real president. Man in the 70s, and he can outwork just about any human on the face of the earth. He has a strength. Can I tell you why? Wisdom. He also doesn't drink any alcohol, never has. Everybody thinks he's an alcoholic. He's never touched it. Daddy told him a long time ago, alcohol will cause you to be stupid. You'll never make money. Don't drink it. It'll steal all your money. His favorite drink is Diet Coke. Say, what does he drink at the state dinners? Diet Coke or water. What does he drink in front of world leaders? Diet Coke. But what if he's with the Russians and they drink vodka? He drinks Diet Coke. Say why? Because he's not about to lose his strength. The press can't stand him because they can't stay up as long as he does. They're wore out and he hasn't even hit the office yet. You see, there's a strength that comes with wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse number 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. That means this, a wise person is going to get stronger and stronger, not weaker and weaker. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles until the day he died, literally. That man at 74 years old was stronger than I am right now. Both physically, mentally, you name it. He was a paratrooper for World War II. You feared that man. I was literally a sermon illustration one time. I was on my hands and knees on a platform. He walked by, grabbed me by the shirt collar and coat collar, and in one motion picked me up and my feet were dangling off the floor. Now he was getting back at me and looked at me and said, "Gotcha." Wait a second. He was in his 70s. Most people in their 70s aren't going to bend over and do that. Shoot, he didn't think twice about it. Say why? Because a wise man increaseth strength. He also knew when to slow down and when he needed to push. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Look at verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. I want you to notice something. People who are saved have wisdom. They're smart enough to get saved. And God said that the Lord is their strength. Turn to Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isn't it amazing how that those that trust in the Lord when the tough times come do better than those that freak out? When we let God be our strength and quit panicking, it's amazing how strong we can be. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. This is a very famous passage. Many of you could quote part of this. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look at verse 29. He giveth power. It sounds like strength, right? He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I tell you something? And I don't mean this the wrong way. I'm 57 years old. I'm not a kid anymore. But I'll promise you there's not a kid in the world that could outwork me. Say why? I'm here long before they get out of bed. I'm not about to let anybody outwork me, and my strength will maintain as long as I can. Now, there are some things I choose not to do anymore because it's not wise at my age, like falling out of tree stands. It has a way of weakening you, amen? But can I tell you something? They that wait upon the Lord, even the youth shall be weary. One of the kids in school just this week said, "Preacher, don't you ever get tired?" I said, "Nope." It wasn't totally a true statement. I do get tired. I just don't let tired tell me what to do. I tell tired what to do. About 10:30, tired can take over. About 4:30 in the morning, tired's ended. Time to get up. Say, why? Because it's just the way it's supposed to be. I don't let the clock tell me what to do. I tell it what to do. Am I doing okay? You don't impress God with your physical, financial, or positional strength. He wants you to have wisdom. There are people that have high positions that God can't stand. Should we talk about some current people in high positions? God doesn't care how big your bank account is. Without wisdom, who cares? I know a lot of wealthy people God doesn't have much interest in. I don't care how strong you are physically. Well, I'm tougher than you might be. Who cares? And I'm going to get into this in a minute here. Wisdom is better than strength. Listen to this statement. This is the part that I've been excited to get to. Wisdom will keep you from having to be in competition. Wisdom says, I don't have to compete with somebody financially. Wisdom says, I don't have to compete with somebody for position. Wisdom says, I don't have to compete with somebody physically, financially, any which way. Folks, I'm not in competition with anybody. I just want to please God. I had a lady Monday night offer to write a check for the church. Wanted to hand it to me. I said, no, ma'am, you can send it in or you can bring it in during office hours or church service, but I ain't touching it. She said, a preacher not going to take money? I said, this one's not. You weren't here for money. Well, I want to give a donation. I said, good, send it in, but I'm not touching it. She said, you're really not going to take it, are you? I said, no, ma'am. I said, preacher, you did that? How much was the check? I don't care if it was $1.98. I'm not handling it. It wasn't a church service. I didn't pass the hat. I'm not taking it. I've had people offer me money to bring to the church. I said, nope, the address is on there. If you want to give it, you can send it there or bring it. I don't take money to the church that way. That protects me, just so you know. Everybody doing okay? Wisdom is beyond us because it comes from God. And God said, I'd rather you be like me and think like me than have the biggest bank account or have the biggest positions or have the greatest popularity. He said, I'd rather you have the wisdom of God than any position or any finances or any things that this world has to offer. So God says in Ecclesiastes 9 that wisdom is better than strength. Number two, God says that wisdom, I love this, look at verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Everybody look at me for a second here. And if I say this right, Somebody's going to get mad. Our first reaction should not be to defend ourselves. Our first reaction should be to defend right, not ourselves. Wisdom keeps you from having to fight. Brother Harry, I rarely get into any argument because I can see the argument coming before it happens and I avoid it. Wisdom says, why fight? Go around it. Don't waste time. Some of you just love to fight. Some of you just like to fight just to fight. I hate it. I hate arguing. I hate fussing. I hate fighting. I hate arguments with people. I was talking to a preacher just this week, and I had to call him and warn him about some possible dangers to his church. I said, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, tell you what I have to say. I know 3 hours worth. If you want to know more, you can ask me questions, but this is what I know. This is what you need to be careful of. He said, you're a godsend. I've been asking God, my folks have been asking God, you're an answer to prayer. Can I ask you questions? And for 45 more minutes, he asked me questions. I answered his questions. Some of his questions I said, I don't know, have no authority to speak on that, and I don't know anything about it. He said, well, there's no doubt when you don't know, is there? I said, nope. I said, I'm not here to fuss. I'm not here to cause trouble. Can I tell you something? Wisdom says, I see potential trouble and I'll do whatever it takes to go around it or to avoid it. I try to avoid problems in our church before we ever have one. Say, what do you do most of, preacher? Walk guard. I walk guard so we don't have the problems. Why do you think I asked you to show up Monday night? If we had more of our people here than they brought in from the outside, we can control the atmosphere. I'm not hiding anything. I told you all that publicly. Say, why? Because I didn't want us to have a ruckus in here. I was trying to avoid the problem. Wise people don't. Wisdom is better than warfare. You don't have to pull out a 12-inch 44 Magnum and start pulling the trigger. Say, why, preacher? Because if you're smart enough, you shouldn't have to do it. No lie. Brother Steve, you're going to love this because you know the people involved with this, and I'm not even going to tell you who it was, but you'll know. I was in a gun store. I was looking at a weapon. A guy told me, he said, well, you got to have this, and then you got to have one for here, and then you got to have extra clips, you got to have this. And I looked at the guy, and he must have had 6 different clips everywhere on his body. He had one gun on his ankle. He had one on his hip. And he's got clips everywhere. And he said, why aren't you going with extra clips? And all of the workers there were looking. They know I'm the preacher. And I said, well, I'd like to think I'm smarter than you. I said, if I'm in a situation where I have to have 6 clips of ammunition, I wasn't smart enough to not be there. I said, I have enough sense not to get myself in a position where I have to use that much ammunition. Everybody on his side of the counter, ooh, he got you. Is that not a true statement? When I bought my first carry weapon, the guy I bought it from said, yeah, this is one of those things you buy and hope you never have to use for the purpose you bought it for. I said, you are exactly right. See, preacher, do you carry extra ammo? None of your business. But I promise you this, I don't have 6 clips on. Oh, number one, I practice enough, I don't have to spray that much lead. Number two, I try to avoid situations where I might have to get into bad situations. Too many of us just charge headlong and say, uh-oh, we're in a bad spot. Yeah, it's too late. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm having fun right now. Wisdom is better than war. Wisdom keeps you from having to fight as much. Turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Look at verse 17. Let's just let God speak. How's that sound? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Oh. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Guess what? Let them say what they want to say. I've got a bunch of internet enemies out there. I don't give a flying flip what they say. I have to have people call me to tell me I'm in a battle on the internet because I don't fight on the internet. Say why? Anybody can hide behind a screen. Just because you can hide behind a screen and type some words doesn't mean you're big and bad and powerful. You'll be doing all right? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I love it. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Can I tell you something? That's why we have to be careful how we teach our kids, that we don't teach them to be like the world. Now, I believe a boy ought to know how to throw a football and a baseball, kick a soccer ball. I'm for that. I don't think he ought to throw a football like this. All right? But there's nothing wrong with a young man learning to play piano or any other instrument, too. Thank God for Brother Randy. I'm glad we have a man playing piano. I make no qualms about it. But can I tell you something? I believe every man ought to be balanced. Tough and tender. Brother Hiles has a book called Blue Denim and Lace. I love the title. Man ought to have a little bit of both, but no lace on the underwear. All right? Just saying. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? God says that wisdom is better than weapons of war. Because you won't need your weapons of war if you'll use wisdom. A couple years ago, one of our young men asked me a question about World War II and said, what do you think, preacher? And I said, I don't think you can base a principle off of that one battle. I said, if you're asking me the solution to the problem, we should have never been in World War II to begin with. I said, if our presidents and our governments would have done what they should have, Hitler would have never been in power, would have never taken an army because he wasn't supposed to amass one, and would have never gone into Poland. I said, had we done what we were supposed to do according to the ending of World War I, I said, but because we did not, we had to fight. Don't make your principle based on that battle. How about we go back before the war ever started and figure out why we had to fight the stupid thing? He said, now that's a different approach. I said, that's a biblical approach. And it could have been, had somebody had enough courage to stand up against Hitler a long time before we ever got to the war. Anyway, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Isn't it amazing how the whole Bible comes together? God tells us wisdom is better than weapons of war. But he also tells us, watch this, if we need to, he gives us the wherewithal. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 13. Wherefore, we'll go to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not supposed to be fighting people. What are we to fight? Principalities, that's governments. Powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, that's the evil entertainment. against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole, what?
Armor.
That sounds like warfare, right? Huh. Take unto you the whole armor of you? Oh, the armor of God. Everybody look at me. He's telling us he'll give us his armor. You remember a little teenage boy named David who Saul tried to give him his armor, didn't fit? Guess what? God's armor fits us just right. Let me show you how. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. In other words, your loins are the foundation of all your strength. That's your thighs and your midsection. That's where all of your strength and balance are. And he said, you need to have the foundation of all that you do based on truth. Oh, thy word is truth, O Lord. The words of truth. Everybody doing okay? Then he says, have your feet shod having loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. That's your heart. The breastplate covers your heart and your lungs. Make sure you protect your heart. Men, protect your family's heart. Not their feelings, their heart. Then he says, watch this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet are what take you to where you got to go. Well, if they're prepared, if they're shod with the gospel, watch this, that's soul winning. Soul winning gives mobility to a church. Soul winning gives mobility to the Christian. You're not afraid to go anywhere if you understand how to win somebody to Jesus Christ. It gives you a confidence. Then he talks about, watch this, above all taking the shield of faith. That shield is an outer protection. It goes before everything you have. What is it? Faith. Faith is based in truth. Truth is the word of God. It all goes together. Now watch this. I'm about ready to come unscrewed. And taking the helmet of salvation. Oh, that's the rules. That's what you know. It's covering your noggin. It's called protecting your knowledge. Make sure you only learn truth. Don't learn error. Don't try to learn the evil things. Now watch this. And the sword of the Spirit. There's your weapon. What's your weapon? Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. By the way, notice how the Spirit and the word work together. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do anything outside of the Word of God. Never. He can't work outside the confines of the Word of God, or he is not God. Well, I feel like the Lord wants me to sell everything and give it to the church, preacher. That's what I feel like the Spirit wants me to do. Show me in the Bible where it says that. Well, I can't. It's a feeling. Then don't do it. It's not of God. Everybody doing all right? Anybody, any preacher that tells you that the Holy Spirit will tell you by a feeling is an idiot and a fool. I don't care what their name is. So, wisdom is better than weapons of war. I got to hurry. Turn to Ecclesiastes again, chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Whew. I'm trying to hurry here. Now watch this. Look at verse number 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Watch this. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. God says here that wisdom is a defense. The word defense means means a shade or a covering. For instance, an umbrella is a defense against the rain. Sunscreen is a defense of the ultraviolet rays to your skin. God says that wisdom is a defense. It wards off, it shields, it protects. But God says also, watch this, everybody look at me. God says money is a defense. I'm going to make a statement here. Too many people make money offense, not defense. It is there to care for and protect, not be used with power. Say, how do you know, preacher? Because the rest of the verse says this, wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Look at me. Wisdom gives life. Money does not give life. Money takes life. It does not give life. Some of you are working yourself literally to death to get another dollar. You worry yourself to death over another dollar. Everybody doing okay? God says wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. It's defensive. It's there to block off, protect. It's not there to charge with, literally, a plastic card, amen? Only wisdom, not money, gives life. Listen to this statement. Money does not teach you how to live. Wisdom does. I know people with a lot of money that don't know how to live real well. I know people with a little bit of money who make it, who have wisdom, that live real well. Wisdom never said that it would give you a lot of money, but it would give you a rich life. Most people only measure richness by money, but money doesn't give life, wisdom does. Money can help you have more of your wants and desires and luxuries, but it won't help you to live. If you drive a $500 beater or a $100,000 car, guess what? If it gets you from point A to point B, didn't matter. Shoot. When I went to Bible college, I had a little gray and blue Escort. Remember that stupid thing? But man, did it run. I was the envy of many of the guys at college because my car ran when theirs didn't. We didn't have to push mine started every day. We'd pick the ones hitchhiking up whose cars died along the way going to work. Say, well, why? It didn't have to look good, but it sure did run. Now, there was people, I'm sure, that had much nicer cars than I. I remember Brother Steve and I were talking about this the other day when we were coming back from Kentucky. I said, do you remember that old, ugly Chevy that you had? I said, I don't know if it was brown or red. He said it was both. He said it was kind of a rust red, brown, big old Chevy. Was it an Impala? What year? It was like a 70? I mean, it was just a big old beast. I mean, you could put 18 teenagers in the trunk and then close the lid. You say, how do you know? Don't ask. I mean, the thing was a boat. But guess what? It ran. Got him back and forth. Was it a looker? Nope, but it sure did work. So what's the difference? It wasn't the amount of money. It was being able to be happy with what you had to get you where you needed to go. See, money can help you maybe have more of the things you think you want. But hang on. Wisdom does not rely on you getting things. Wisdom helps you manage what God gives you. Let me say that again. Wisdom doesn't necessarily help you get more things. It helps you manage what God gives you. Most of you don't need more money. You need better wisdom. You need to listen to somebody that has financial wisdom. I'm not afraid to say what I'm about to say. If you make more than $40,000 or $45,000 a year with a family, you can survive pretty comfortably in this area. I didn't say you're going to have everything in the world that everybody else has, but you can make it. You've been doing okay? Now, many make more than that. I'm happy for that. I make a little over 50 every year. You know, you see the financial reports. I live very comfortably. I don't go to my mommy and daddy and say I need help all the time. Number one, I can't go to mommy anymore. Dad, he's the one needing help right now. Now, not necessarily financially, but I'm the one helping him. Good. Can I tell you something? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You don't need more hours and more jobs and more money. You need more wisdom. Money seems to motivate sinners more. Listen to this statement. Money seems to motivate sinners more because it allows us to be our own God more and choose what we want. It satisfies that want for us to be God, choosing what we get. Money can protect you from some hardships if you have it saved up. But if it's not saved up, it's not a defense, and you have no defense. But money cannot teach you how to live. Look how much money is wasted for public education. I'm not saying that anybody that goes to a public school is the booger man. But I'm going to tell you this, it's a corrupt system, and it is not going to get any better. So, I'm going to run through this very quickly. There are only four ways you can get wisdom. I'm going to list them. I'm not going to teach on it. I'll do it another time. What are the four ways you get wisdom? Number one, asking God. James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Number two, you get it by obedience to the scripture. I didn't say knowledge. I said by obedience. I don't care how much of it you know. God cares how much of it are you doing. You have to do exactly what he says to have wisdom. So you get it by asking. You get it by obeying the scripture. Number three, you get it by counsel from wise people. Find somebody that has some wisdom and listen to them. Young people, the best advice I was ever given was by an old man named Carl Laurent. My freshman year of college, he looked at me and said, young man, do you think God gives the right answer to a wise counselor to answer your question? I said, yes, sir. He said, guess you never need to make bad decision if you seek counsel on everything. Whew. That was 39 and a half years ago, and I still remember it. So, ask God, obey scripture, counsel with wise people, and number four, the reproofs of life. I got a few whippings when I was a kid. I probably should have got a few that I didn't. But I will tell you this, the whipping didn't fix the problem. But before I did the same stupid thing again, I thought about the whipping I just got. It kept me from doing other stupid things. I used to tell my children before I would paddle them, the paddling won't fix it, but it should remind you next time not to do it again. That's really what it's for. That's called a reproof. You make a bad financial decision, it ought to teach you not to keep making the same financial bad decision. You make a mistake at work, you shouldn't keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over. See, the reproofs of life will teach you wisdom. Now, I'm going to read the next six lines that I have and I'm going to quit. God says a fool will hate any or all of what I said tonight. Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs 24:7 says a fool hath no delight in knowledge. A fool will not hear instruction and wisdom. The fool is so full of self that they think their way is right no matter what the Bible says or what the preacher says. Fools fight for power. Fools fight for position and money. Fools look to agitate and argue and start wars. Fools think money is what gives life. So, the question is this. Wisdom is better than. Wisdom is better than strength. It's better than weapons of war. God says it's a defense. I'd rather have wisdom than all the money in the world. I'd rather have wisdom than all the guns in the world. I'd rather have wisdom than all the strength in the world. Say why? Because at least I'm right with God. How about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I asked you to start. Are you willing to do what God wants over what you want? Are you willing to seek wisdom? Go to the book of Proverbs and read Proverbs and talks about wisdom. Are you willing to seek wisdom versus anything this old world has to offer?